Susan Lim is parliamentary monitoring group.
Just take note of the fact that we are going to request them to be touched again moving forward. I know that we have been there to allow KMC to come into the department to do necessary research for the benefit of evaluation. But eventually, we would want that report to come back to us as the portfolio committee to be able to improve our oversight and our own planning evaluation as the portfolio committee.
Evaluation system itself. I mentioned to you the management performance assessment tool. The This is a tool which has been applied across all the parts of the country, provincial and national, around 31 indicators around human resource management, strategic management, financial management, etc. This is one of 31 indicators, which is on monitoring and evaluation. And level 3 means that departments are complying with immediately what they're supposed to do. So, if they're legally compliant, the monitoring reports are regularly used by top managers and program managers to track progress and inform improvement. Level 4 is the same as when they're more than legal compliant actions. So, when they're smart, we're saying actions are legally compliant, going beyond the basics, to amplify and understand how to get the data. Now, when you apply that across all national provincial departments, how many of them are complying with legal prescripts and how many of them are smart? So this is the story. So 44%, the other one, are complying with the legal prescripts. 44% are substandard. They're not complying with it. And only 13% are doing evaluation. Now what that means is that they're not using this in-depth look at what's working and not working and why to inform their planning, the policy making, and budgeting. And that means there's a major opportunity lost to improve the government. This is a comparison. In Chile, Chile is a very organized country, and it is of German extraction, and they have got national evaluation teams been going for some time. They found that 51% of all their programs needed substantial redesign. Now, if that's the case in Chile, what that means is 51% of their programs are not delivering as efficiently and as sustainably as they do. That means if we improve the performance of those programs with the same amount of money, we can have fun. I think this is a metaphor. This is a tool that helps us to do much, much better with the same amount of resources. So in some cases, motivate why additional resources might be needed. So that's why I think it's powerful. But you can see it's a broken structure. So at the moment, that's not much working right in terms of using this information to improve the job. The first reason we want to use evaluation is to improve performance. It's to try and run that form in mind. It's to make sure that we are improving what we do all the time so we have more impact on citizens and we achieve more with that. And the fourth part of the group is the program management department. The department they do their job better. The second one is around accountability. Where is public spending going? Is spending making a difference? And obviously for you, that's a very important role for Parliament. The third one, which is again for decision makers, is how should the intervention that we're looking at be continued? Should the mining grant be continued for currently years? Should have implemented change? Should increase budget be allocated? Or should it be something stopped? This information can be powerful information for when you take a decision, not making a decision based on a hunch. So potentially, whenever you come to a decision point where you need to make a decision, it's good that you have the evidence to support you in that decision. And the last one is around generating knowledge or learning. Government is not good at the institutional memory around knowledge is not good. It's difficult to find, even though evaluation is defined, evaluation was conducted in the past more than 2 years ago. Extremely difficult. We need to get it from the service providers and system, not from the government department, from a shell somewhere. So one of the things we also want to do is try and make sure that the important quality of knowledge about what works and doesn't work is available generally, not just for government, but also for government. Now, for people who are familiar with evaluations, I think the common thing that they think about is evaluation only done when something's finished. One of the core messages I'd like to get through is that complicated. You can do evaluation at any stage of the intervention. One of the most important ones is for somebody's design. How do we make sure the design is based on confidence? How do we make sure that the design is really going to get to the root cause of the problem? And it's not a superficial band-aid that's going to fix it and make it put low on the next one. The first thing we're talking about is what we're calling a diagnostic evaluation. What's the underlying situation? What's the root causes of the problem? What are the options that could be considered which should inform the design process? This is not the design process, it's informing the design process. Yeah? So this is a very, very important stage. And all too often, I think policies and programs are developed without this, and then you wonder why they're not working. But they don't have a solid foundation of nuclear control. The next one type I would be looking at, once the silo happens, is to do an evaluation of the design to check if it's going to work. Not wait 3 years down the line when the things all the intervention is already spent lots of money, but actually there were some basic flaws in the design that could be picked up at the outlet. So we're trying to make sure that all departments have the capacity internally to do what's called the design evaluation. This is a quick thing, it's not a 32-week work. And basically they look to see, does it look like the design is likely to yield the results? Will the inputs that are put in and activities that are proposed, do we think they're going to achieve those outputs? And do we think those outputs will achieve those outcomes? And do we think those outcomes have an impact on the population that it should have?
We do this rigorously. And as somebody who's operated in NGOs and whatever, I've had to do this quite a lot. You very quickly can look at a design and say this design's not going to work. There's some fundamental flaws in it. If we can pick up these problems before hundreds of millions of rand have been spent and before we've wasted years doing the wrong thing, we're going to help our citizens a lot. So that's the second one, which won't be passed by a national evaluation plan, but we'll be building capacity in departments like DMR, hopefully to do this internally. Your ME people perhaps do this for all programs as they get designed. The third one is what we're calling an implementation evaluation. What is happening and why? So your intervention, the mining charts have been underway for a year or two or whatever it is, and you want to check how it's going. We may not be able to know whether it's having an impact, but we can at least say it's working the way we expected and could the way it's operating be strengthened. That's what we're calling an implementation evaluation. How is implementation going? How can it be strengthened? And typically many of the evaluations we're looking at the moment are about that. They're that type of evaluation. And just to say that these implementation evaluations, if it's a small intervention, this could be a rapid exercise. It could be a week's work just maybe doing a workshop with stakeholders to try and work out what's going on. But if this is a big thing involving masses and masses of money, it needs to be much more systematic. And we would typically do this maybe a year or two after the intervention has started to check we're going in the right direction. Again, not 5 years down the line, and we haven't done a check that the thing's working the way we intended. The fourth one, which is I think probably what most people think about, is what we call impact evaluation. Has the child support grant had an impact on poverty of children? We're spending 90 billion rand on the child support grant. Is that a good use of money? Yeah. That's the sort of question you would ask. So if you're applying this to the mining charter, has the mining charter had the impact on empowerment of the ownership of mines and the management of mines and the impact on small businesses of mines that we expected? That would be an impact evaluation. Yeah? The impact evaluations are complicated and they have to be quite sophisticated because often you're trying to separate an effect of one thing you do where there may be many other factors. What happened to the gold price? What happened to the value of the rand? What's happened internationally to the demand from China? All these factors may be affecting. So how to separate what you did from what's happening in the wider world is the challenge you've got in an impact evaluation. And because of that, it's usually better to design an impact evaluation from the outset. It's quite difficult to do it retrospectively. You can have a go, but it's less strong. The evidence is less strong. So if you want impact evaluations, the message is, ideally, if you hear of a new intervention, for example, that DMR is coming forward with, ask them, are you planning for an impact evaluation? So in 3 years' time, we know whether it's working or not working, it's having an impact in one. I think the core message around impact evaluation design in advance. If something's been going for a long time, you may still want it done because it's important to know the information, but it may not be easy if nobody thought about it when they designed it. Because the other key thing about an impact evaluation, you've got to say, how do we compare children who had the child support grant from children who didn't have the child support, because that's the comparison. The similar children with similar parents in similar places, the change that happened to them was because of the child support grant, not because of something else, not because this group's parents were actually better equipped, were richer perhaps, had better resources to support their children. That's the challenge of impact evaluation, is doing that separation. So you may well want to ask for it, but it may not be so easy to do it. The last one, which is very important, I think I would imagine you ask the question all the time. What are the cost benefits? What's the cost effectiveness of what you're doing? Does the, do the results merit the amount we're spending on it? So in many cases, this is, of course, a question that Treasury will be asking all the time. So this is a, in most evaluations, we would suggest you need to ask this question. Is it value for money? Is it a good way of trying to achieve the objective you want to, at a, you know, with a cost-effective intervention? So how does the system actually work? The first thing is it's based on department submitting proposals. And the reason we go this way is because at the end of the day, the department has got to implement the findings. If you do the evaluation, or we do the evaluation, and we just do it through the department, the likelihood is they will resist the findings, and it will be difficult to do the evaluation, and it will be difficult to make sure they actually implement it. They must own it. That's why we ask that the department submit it. So the DG of the department says, we want this evaluation. They may be under pressure to do it, that's another issue, but they've said, no, we're under pressure. We want to get the evidence to show why what we're doing is the right thing to do. So the second thing is a selection. DPME does not just decide on them. It's very important that there's cross-government buy-in to which ones are selected. So what we have is we have a cross-government group called an Evaluation Technical Working Group, which includes Treasury, includes Public Service Commission, it includes some sector departments. And that group actually does the selection, and that group is meeting on the 18th of July. That's why we need these submissions the 30th of June, because on the 18th of July, the evaluation for 2014-15 will be selected, plus indicatively the ones for the following 2 years. The other thing that's very important about the system, why some departments don't want to submit them, is because they're all going public. These are not private evaluations that were done just for the DD to keep on the side. These are going to public ones. There's public money that's being spent. They will go public unless there's security concerns. So there are some cases where something is so sensitive that it cannot be released and it's just used for internal performance. But in principle, they will go public. They'll go up on the DPME website and hopefully on the department's website as well. The other thing is that all evaluation reports in the National Evaluation Plan. So this document you've got here is the policy. So we've now been talking about the way the system works. It's this. But the yellow document, that's actually what we're calling the plan. And the brown, so this is the plan for 2012-13, and this is the plan for 13-14. So if you go through there, you'll see details. So there are only, in this one there's only 8. In this one there's 15, and the plan is for 15 going forward. So what's very important is those 15 need to be very important ones. We're not going to do small ones which are just a departmental consideration. All of these reports will go to Cabinet. They've got to be significant. So I'll come back to that, what we mean by significant. So Cabinet approves the plan, and Cabinet will get all the reports that come out of it. So how do we ensure independence? Because what's very important, so when you asked, will DPME do the evaluation, we actually won't do the evaluation. We would work with the department, constitute a steering committee, and we would commission an independent body to do the evaluation, okay? And so the evaluations are implemented as a partnership between the department and ourselves. In some cases, there may be several departments involved. And in fact, as I mentioned to the chair earlier, one of the most useful types of evaluations to put through here are ones where there are several departments involved, because it's often quite difficult for departments to coordinate. And this can provide a good mechanism for getting an interdepartmental view. If it's just one department's thing, then maybe they can just deal with it within the department. It doesn't need to go to the broader forum. The other thing is to ensure independence. Decisions on the evaluation are not made by the department. They're made by the steering committee, which represents the partnership. Yeah? So we have to try and make sure that it's not expedient political or managerial choices which are dictating what happens. We have to get a quality, independent view which you can trust. Because if it's just a partial view, you can't trust it. So we need to get something which is solid. As I mentioned, in most cases, external service providers will do it. In some cases, it can be done internally where there's a lot of capacity, but then you've got to be extra sure to preserve the independence of it and to make sure it's not going to be a biased picture. To try and ensure that the quality is there, there are whole sets of systems that we've developed. We have an evaluation panel, which currently consists of 42 different service providers, which have been through some sort of vetting process to check that they've got a minimum standard. We've developed a whole set of guidelines. We're developing training. We trained 200 government staff last year, and our plan is to train up to 500 people a year. We've got evaluation standards we've developed. We've got evaluation competences we've developed. We've developed a quality assessment tool. Once the evaluation is finished, to do a quality assessment of the evaluation, again done by an independent organisation, not by ourselves. And the evaluations are usually joint funded. And this is a very important issue because if you, for example, are going to request DMR to do an evaluation here, they need to have a budget for it. Now, normally we joint funded. So we've indicatively allocated 750,000 rand for each evaluation for next year. The evaluations can cost somewhere between one, and if it's a very complex with lots of field work, it could cost as much as 3 or 4 million rand. But many of them are coming up at around 1.5 million. Okay, so that would be a substantive one where you actually need to do some field work. And when the evaluation is finished, we don't just want reports. We don't just want a book that sits on a shelf somewhere. There must be, of course, an improvement plan. So the recommendations that are made in here, the department then says, work with us to develop an improvement plan of how they're going to address the recommendations that are in the report. And that is monitored. And we're in the cycle now that our first evaluation that was funded, which is early childhood development, the letter's going out this week to the department requesting them to give the 6-month report on the improvement plan and how far they've gone. So there's pressure for something to happen. Cabinet approved it. Cabinet saw the report. Cabinet wants to know that something is being done about it and it's not just sitting on a, holding up a door somewhere. So I just want to give you some feeling for the process because it's not... There's an annual cycle to this. So the first thing that happens is the call for evaluations goes out. And in this year, this went out at the end of March. The first week of April actually went out. And that said, that call for evaluations is actually this document. So this said, this is the process, this is what you need to submit, and it needs to be submitted by the 30th of June. And it gives you an idea of how the selection is going to happen and what criteria will be used, etc. So departments have to submit by the 30th of June. Then on July the 18th we'll do the selection. And as soon as the selection happens, we will start working on trying to refine the concept behind this evaluation and get the core purpose of the evaluation, key questions clarified, etc. So that by the time we actually write the plan, we draft this, and start going into the cluster and cabinet system, we already have a solid evaluation, and then the concept that really is solid. And cabinet approved the plan in November or December. And that's the cycle for the year. That's what we're hugging for now. That's the real timing. And what we would hope is we would actually start on the terms of reference. Actually, pretty much as soon as selection happens, we'll start working on what's the purpose, what are the questions, what might be the scope, what might be the methodology, etc. So hopefully we can actually commission sometime soon in January before actually we enter the actual substantive year that the plan is for. We want to make sure that by the time we get to April, the evaluation is underway. It's already in process. So then we get to year three. So now we're now talking about 2014-15 itself. So the evaluation would have been commissioned somewhere between February and July 2014. And it should take roughly 6 months, unless it's very complex and a huge amount of survey work that needs to be done. If they're not, then usually it's around about 6 months. So we complete somewhere between September and March of 14 to 15, depending on how complex the evaluation is. Once the report is received, it's not approved by the department, it's approved by the steering committee. And when the steering committee approves the report, it's not saying we agree with the findings. They may not agree with the findings, but we say we think this is a technically sound evaluation and it's factually correct. The interpretation they may disagree with, but that's why I commissioned an independent person. Didn't commission somebody to just give you a yes picture. You commissioned them to give an independent view. So then the department is given a month to say, yes, we agree with 10 of the recommendations, but 2 of them we don't agree with for the following reasons, and that we're calling the management response. So there's a chance, and that will go public too. So the report will go public, but the management response will go public as well. Once that happened, as soon as we got the, after the 1 month, in fact, if the department doesn't submit any comments, we'll still, after the 1 month, it'll then go into the cluster system and go into cabinet. So we can expect that we had, for example, our second evaluation report was approved by the steering committee on May 31st. The department of the national response letter went out from our DG roughly the week later. So around about the first week in July, we'll start submitting that one into the cluster cabinet system. That will take probably a couple of months to go through. And by the time, once that's gone through, it's public. At that stage, the portfolio committee can get that document. It goes public on the web. It's a public document. Once the report is out, in fact, as soon as the report is out and the management response starts, the work can start on actually saying, how are we going to address the findings? And that's the development of the improvement plan. And that can take 2 or 3 months to develop. It can be quite, I mean, the first one on ECD is really quite a complex improvement plan. There are lots of departments involved. There's health, there's social development, there's basic education, there's women and children. It's a complex improvement plan. Lots of different things. Some of the things needed changes to policy, some of them needed changes to the services that were provided, etc. So that takes a bit of time, and then we communicate the results and we monitor the improvement plan. So that's the cycle, and as you can see, it takes from the time that you do the call through to the improvement plan is over a year. Yeah, it's going through a number of cycles. So in terms of the message that you're in a sense giving the department, the call for the department went out. The portfolio committee is responding potentially by saying we would like to see an evaluation. The request goes to the department. The department then comes into the cycle here, and they've got to submit by the 30th of June using the format I've shown, and then it goes into the cycle. So you would expect to get the results of it somewhere. Somewhere here. So this is somewhere around, it's probably a year later. So this is not going to work for you for something you need tomorrow. And this is why it's also important to anticipate. If you know that in a year's time, you'd be 3 years on something and you want to get the results out. So one of the questions we ask actually in here is we say, are there any critical decision points which are coming up which this evaluation is going to contribute to? So if you know there's going to be a renewal of a program or something, and you know the renewal is next year, and you'd like to see the evaluation before you agree that it should be renewed, you need to initiate it now. So one of the messages we need to get into is this planning ahead. You can't just respond. Now, obviously, a department, you can ask the department to do an evaluation, and if they've got budget for it, they can do it immediately. That's their prerogative, and it's a discussion between you. But if it's going to go into this system, it's got to follow this timetable. Including the years, yes. So it's not saying the whole thing will take 4 years. Yeah, but what I'm saying is that if the call went out right at the end of year one, it's actually, in fact, just into year two. Yeah? By the time work is starting, it's around about... So if they submit in June, the work can probably start in January. So the report will probably be out in July, August next year. Yeah, that's the sort of timing. Yeah. So we've had now two national evaluation plans approved, it's these two, and work is underway on them, and I'll talk about those in a minute. The first one, I said, had 8 evaluations, this one actually has 16 evaluations. We brought one from a year later into this one. One evaluation is completed and is going through the improvement plan. Two more, we've now had final reports, and we're starting to get into the production phase. I should just say that this policy was only approved in November 2011. So, you know, we've between November 2011 and now, we've got 23 evaluations underway. We've developed the system, we've got 23 underway. But we're now about to get to where the reports start rolling in. So from now on, we're going to sort of every month or two, a report's going to come out. The other thing we did is we know that departments have done evaluations themselves. So we went to all the departments and said, can you tell us about any evaluations that you've done, and can you give us a report? And we've done... We identified something like 130, but we could only get the reports on 83. And then on those 83, we had a quality assessment. In fact, we got the reports on 93. 10 of them we found were not really evaluations. They were research or other things. Of the 83, we've now done quality assessments. And of that 83, 12 have failed. What that means is those 12 evaluations should not be used for decision making. They are not valid evaluations. Either the methodology was flawed, the findings are flawed, they should not. So we will not put the evaluation up on our website, but we will put it up with a warning that the particular department's concerned should not be using that information for decision making. Okay. In the process, we've developed the quality assessment tool, which is going to be used for all evaluations from now on. So when we get the reports, we will do the quality assessment, and then when we go to cabinet, and when you get the report, you've also got an independent view on whether it was a good document or not. Just to give you a feeling on, in terms of the system, there are lots of, I think I've talked about this. The one thing I just want perhaps mention is we're starting to get a system now where provinces are saying, we want to do the same thing. So Western Cape and Gauteng have now developed their own provincial evaluation plans, and Western Cape is going to do 10 evaluations this year. I can't remember the number, but there's 4 or 5 evaluations are going to be done. And we're starting to work with 3 states that have developed their own plan, because it's important provinces that are asking the same questions. And we now actually have 2 departments that have developed departmental evaluation plans, Department of Science and Technology and Department of Trade and Industry. And it's interesting to note that those 2 departments in our management performance assessment came up top of all national departments. So I think they're showing why they're top. They're able to think more broadly. They're able to see where something like this would contribute to them. So what are we finding? I just want to show you what a report looks like. This is actually the evaluation report on early childhood development. And you haven't got a copy of it, but I'm happy to give it to you if you'd like it. What we ask is the first 2 pages are what's called, I'm just going to try and make it bigger. Okay, so this is what we call a policy summary. So this is particularly intended for the ministers and for yourselves. What are the key policy findings? And we've got a page, in this case a page and a half, which is the key policy findings. Now in this case, I actually had to write it because the researcher was unable to put it in the policy in policy speak. So, but it was approved by them. So what we're trying to get is something which you will be able to relate to as the sort of issues you have to deal with and the sort of choices you have to make and the senior policy making in departments have to make. The next 4 or 5 pages is an executive summary. So we're trying to make this easy. And then that's the executive summary. So 4 or 5, in this case I think it might actually be 6 pages with recommendations. And then we move into the main report. And the main report we're saying, you might have a report that's that thick, but we know very few people are going to read it. So we're actually asking, what we talk about the 1-3-25 report. 1-page policy summary, 3-page executive summary, and 25-page main report. That's readable. You would probably read that. You wouldn't read a 250-page report. Okay, so we have this as a standard. Because, you may have the best... we just had another evaluation just complete on grade R. It's a very good evaluation. It was completely unreadable for a layperson. It was completely unreadable. It was one of the top evaluators in South Africa. But he's writing for an academic audience. And he's quoting all sorts of statistical stuff and whatever that makes it unreadable. So we need to make sure, if it doesn't communicate, it's not working. So we need to, so that's a very important thing. So if you take the ECD as an example, this came up with, we needed to focus at the moment early childhood development focuses on children from birth. What this came up with is that we must also focus on pregnancy. Because a lot of the damage is done when pregnant mothers are malnourished and the brain development of the child is stunted right from that point. Fecal alcohol, there's all sorts of things that happen during pregnancy. So one of the key findings is we need to focus on children from conception, not from birth, and that means we've actually got to change the children's brain. Yeah. The other, the focus on the first, what we're calling first 1,000 days, so it's not just pregnancy, it's also the first 2 years, up to 1,000 days, means that health needs to play a much greater role in early childhood development. Whereas at the moment it's been much more sexual development and basic education. So it's trying to bring health much more into the picture. What's coming through is the poorer children. I mean, when ECD is being used as what's called a great leveler of opportunity. But actually poorer children are not getting enough access to early childhood development. So we need to prioritize poor children. There's comments about the types of services that are available, the comments about the type of coordination that's happening, and the quality of the coordination. So these just give you a feeling some of the sort of findings which are coming out. Some are policy level, some are program level, their funding issues, etc. And the next ones that are going to be made public is Grade R, and which is looking at the impact of Grade R on learning. And there's one on business process outsourcing scheme, incentive scheme of DTI. Those, we've got the final reports on both of those, and they're going to go, they're in the management response phase. Both of these are coming up with very significant findings. I can't tell you yet, but they are significant, and they're going to significantly affect the way the programs are designed. So it's just illustrating why it's important to do this. In terms of status, the white one of the ECD one I've talked about, that's been done and the improvement plan has been submitted. The green ones here are all of those in this yellow document, the 2012-13 plan. So there's one on business process services, there's one on Grade R, there's one on the land reform, recapitalization and development, there's one on the comprehensive rural development program, there's one on nutrition, there's two human settlements one, and there's one on the national school nutrition program. Quite focused on children, this one, this plan was actually. Very little on economic. Now these are the 15 brown documents, and you'll see here's quite a focus on economic. So export marketing investment assistance, support program for industrial innovation, technology and human resources for industry, military veterans economic empowerment, tax compliance for small business, comprehensive agricultural support, MAFISA, which is an agricultural finance scheme, the land restitution program, the matric certificate. There's three human settlements ones, community works program, national advanced manufacturing technology strategy, and then two cross-cutting ones which we're taking forward, one on the outcomes approach, which we want to use to try and think about how the national development plan and going into the next phase of government, what should the outcomes be and how should we modify the process. And then there's an important one on the cluster system of government, looking at clusters, MINMEX, and implementation forums and how they're operating and how we can strengthen those. So these are the 23 evaluations, which are sort of at various stages now of implementation. And I think you'll see that they're very important government programs and whatever which are covered here. As we start to add 15 every year, this is going to start to really give us some good insight into what's working well and where we need to strengthen in the government system. I should say that 15 a year is a drop in the ocean of the number of evaluations that are needed. Every department probably should be doing 5 a year for their own program. We're trying to get the culture in. So DTI is already doing that. DST is moving that way. Some of the departments are moving that way. Provinces are beginning to move that way. And over 3, 4, 5 years, we want to get there. But it's a longer-term process. We also have some recommendations for 14-15 already, and you'll see in the brown document. So we've got revitalization irrigation schemes, the Funza Lushaka, which should be bursary scheme, Ilima Nesema for DAS, and a policy evaluation on support for small-scale farmers from DAS. And then we've got some proposals for 15-16, Land Care, National Rural Youth Service, the new school curriculum, and we want to evaluate our own evaluations and say, are they making a difference? Is this investment in the evaluation system worth it? Do we need to change the system? Is it making a difference? So we still need 10 or 11 evaluations for next year, and we still need 11 evaluations for the following year, and that's what the call is about. So that in the call for next year, we're again saying we're looking at top priorities. What are the top priorities of governments, particularly, obviously, the 12 outcomes, particularly the 5 manifesto priorities, and the National Development Plan? So out of those, we want to make sure that we're really focusing on topics which are most important, and similarly, that are large. We're not particularly interested in evaluating a 10 million rand scheme. If we're only going to do 15 a year, that's probably not going to be a top priority. So what we're saying is the focus is on more on large ones. By large, we mean over 500 million rand. And we also mean by large that potentially it's covering a large footprint. So over 10% of the population. We're not saying we can't do one that's smaller than that, but that's a guide. Another possibility is it's not large, but strategic or innovative. So it might be a scheme that we want to pilot. It's very important to do a, but we, if it's politically sensitive, we want the results of the pilot to go to cabinet for approval. So it's something strategic or innovative in which it's important we learn the lesson. So those may not be large. A factor we also take into account is how hot is the topic. If it's very hot, then we may want to get better evidence. So how much in the public eye? I mentioned that we'll make available 750,000 rand. The cost could be more. And we're trying to push people to not just think of 1 year, but also if it's a complex evaluation, they may need to be planning for 2 or 3 years at a time. So what are the implications for portfolio committees? Well, hopefully in early July, that repository where I said we quality assessed 83 evaluations and 71 at half, those will go up in July. So that straight away may give some evidence that may be relevant to you. I can't off the top of my head remember if there's anything around mineral resources in that set. I mentioned that the management response will happen after 1 month. As soon as that 1 month after the report happens, the letter, we will go into the cabinet and cluster system, and as soon as cabinet has approved it, we will write to the relevant portfolio committees to say, this evaluation is now public. Here is a copy of the evaluation. You may wish the relevant department to come and do a presentation of the findings. We won't do the presentation on the findings. We would like the department, they're the owners, they need to own it, they must come and report. And this really then provides an opportunity for you to interrogate what the departments are doing and really get some deeper analysis as to how things are going. The departments that I mentioned will develop improvement plans, and you could well be asked them to brief you on their progress on the implementation of the improvement plan. So we will be asking probably, I think, for 6 months reports. The system is still developing. It could be quarterly, but I think probably 6 months of your reports. And I would have thought you may want to see the progress reports yourself as well. And then the last point, I think really why I'm here today, which is you could make suggestions to departments regarding priority areas for evaluation. So if there's something that you are very unhappy with or you really don't understand what's going on and you feel we need to put a spotlight on it and get some clear evidence, then you could ask the department for evaluation, and that's the call that's happening now. In terms of some conclusions, I think the system is as I mentioned, we haven't even been going 2 years yet. And we're going pretty fast. And interest is growing, and we're getting, as I mentioned now, provinces interested, departments doing departmental plans, etc. I think the system is now reasonably well established, but there are now some additional things that are going to happen. This design evaluation that I mentioned, where all new programs, and in fact, even some existing programs, but all new programs should go through this, I think would have a big capacity. There are a lot of countries now looking at South Africa to see what we're doing, and I think the next one is that it's very important to have close monitoring of those improvement plans to make sure that the maybe uncomfortable findings are not just being left behind, but are being dealt with. And I think, you know, your role here in making sure that this is happening is potentially very important. Just come back to some of the key points I made at the beginning, that the evaluations provide an important tool that you can use for an in-depth look at how policies and programs are performing. That if you do use this information, it can be an important spur for improved performance and to make sure that we are dealing with problems as they are emerging. And if you like the two topics that were mentioned here of the mining charter or the MPRD, whatever that is, that if those are topics that you feel are very important, there is an opportunity now by the 30th of June to ask the department to submit proposals for evaluation. We will also make sure that there are progress updates. I just heard this morning, I didn't know that there are clusters. We certainly will do progress updates to the chair of the portfolio committee. We probably can't go to all 50 committees, but we maybe use the cluster system as well as another way of trying to get messages out on a regular basis. But obviously, to specific departments with specific evaluations, you will get updates on those very, very specifically. Thank you.
And thank you. In fact, just to add on the transfer system, it's just that very often you get it for the cross-cutting situation. You don't put that organ as transfer, which is part of a witness of parliament. But you get cross-cutting issues where you find that under one cluster, you have treasury, you have water and environmental affairs, you have mining, you have energy, all being interlinked in one way or the other, either through legislation or some form of action having to be taken in issues of service delivery or otherwise. Hence, I say that it could perhaps be a need that the approach should also be cross-cutting approach so that there's no repetition of work for one or duplication of work, and for us to be able to see, because that's the aim of monitoring and evaluation, for us to be able to see progress and where we are going to, rather than repetition, and as a result, a waste of funds. So that we are able to then develop something that is coordinating with each other in terms of programs. But it's a scarce situation for us, perhaps. I don't know how I'm going to try and implement it, but something could work out. Honourable members, any questions? Issues of engagement? Honourable Kolulu, Honourable Lorima, Honourable Schmidt, Honourable Mjogo, in that order, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me thank also Ian for this beautiful presentation. I'm just checking here, I've got about two questions to ask with regard to the monitoring and evaluation. You know, we are constantly evaluated by organizations of companies such as Moody's, for instance. What is it that they look at when they downgrade us as a country? As the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, do you guard against these in order to not find ourselves as a country in a situation where we'll be downgraded? That would be the first one. The second one, actually, is on the approving, on the key aspects of the approach. Approving a plan would need, according to me, actually, I think it would need some kind of capacity, expertise, know-how, how to approve a plan. And then all evaluations reports go to cabinet, which approves the plan. Now, the question around that one is that in order for the plan to be approved, do cabinet need also, amongst its members, need that capacity, the expertise to say, okay, this plan is okay, it can go through? Because sometimes you find that you approve a plan and then you find that it's not working for the country, and a lot of money has been spent on that particular plan. For instance, if you take a project such as the what is this one of the nuclear PBMR, whereby we wasted a lot of money on that one, and we had to discontinue that project because it was not working for us. So my question is that: do we need people there who specialize in particular fields in order to approve the plan so that it can assist us? Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Thank
you. I think it's a very laudable program. I think it's a very difficult one. It would be nice to see all legislation, prospective legislation, independently evaluated before it's introduced. It must be very difficult to achieve independence. I think it must be hard for bureaucracy to take a self-critical look at themselves, and makes me somewhat skeptical that this can work, because it is, I think, you know, it's a great idea. You talked about the actual evaluations being done by external service providers. Could you give us some examples of the type of external service providers you use? As to our situation, it would be great, although it's a little late for that because it's already gone through cabinet for a design evaluation of the MPRDA amendment bill. Then I'd also like to suggest, I'd like to back up a suggestion that any changes to the mining charter go through a design evaluation. And then I would also like to see, as a third thing, an evaluation of the impact of safety stoppages on mine safety and mining production and sustainability.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My speaker's fallen somewhere. The issue of the monitoring and evaluation is something which I think A is necessary, but it also has to be timed with the 2014 objectives, or the 2014 deadline for the mining charter. Certain deadlines have a 5-year lifespan, and 2029 was the one, and 2014 is the second. So this has to be read together with those objectives of the 2014 the mining charter. I think the other issue, of course, is that the mining charter itself and the implementation thereof is all over the show, with due respect. It is chaos. I think I've used that word before. The interpretation by the department versus the interpretation by the mining companies is at odds with each other. The implementation of and the monitoring thereof by the department, if at all, I don't think they have the ability to monitor it. And if so, I don't think it's, we doubt the independence thereof. So we're very skeptical, and to us, independence is the most important critical element. There was something else I wanted to say, sorry. When I looked at this, I regarded this as a funny, because it's the first time in my years on this portfolio committee that we're seeing something this along these lines. Something I forgot, sorry, my apologies, I'm wasting your time. I'll forego. Sorry? I'll cut it to you. Sorry, yeah, it was this. There's 1,500 mining operations at the moment. Mining operations. There are more exploration activities. So there are at least hundreds of companies. And I think if anything, it's going to be an enormous task. It's not going to be a 1 month or 2 month exercise, if it needs to be done properly. And it needs to sincerely undertake the challenges from both sides, from an economic point of view, because you've seen the deputy president's involvement now in the mining industry, and he undertook to say no stone will be left unturned, which includes the MPRDA, which is the Mineral Petroleum Resources Development Act, which includes Labor Relations Act, which includes a myriad of issues in the mining industry. So, if anything, I think it is very important that such a evaluation be done in light of the Deputy President's remarks. If anything, I think it should be number one on that list of things that need to be evaluated and monitored. Bigger. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is that there are those provinces who wish to develop their provincial evaluation plan, but it looks like it's not compulsory. But I want to know that if those provinces develop their provincial evaluation form, what will happen after their finding? Because it's not compulsory. Who's going to follow? What will be the follow up after their finding?
I think, honourable members, if you don't mind, since this seems to be coordinated work, would you allow me to give an opportunity to input from the DMR? So that they can get proper clarity, because we walk out of here, we have to also implement and communicate with each other. So if they want to comment, perhaps I can give them an opportunity to either ask or have an input, because we must have a common understanding about this and walk out of here.
Thank you, Chair, for that. I don't take any comment from my side. I don't know, Mr. Katina, we have notes in the presentation. Mm-hmm. I will give Dr. Goldman an email address so that he can email the presentation and the latest documents, and then we'll pass on. regulation to DG and NIFR will then be made aware of the deadline of 6 years of change. But in actual, this is always in the department of court to then submit formal request to DG and NIFR. And if you both be made to come to the DG and NIFR, you know, further sensitizing to the but at this stage, I'm going to
okay. Is there any additional question?
Should we as a committee be recommending to the department a course of action?
We should be recommending to them. And I have to write a letter to them to actually elicit this process, requesting their cooperation as well. So that when a DPME goes into the department, then they also don't experience difficulties in terms of getting the relevant information any way that they want it. So it's a committee call. It's in a way oversight on our side in a different angle. Like, for instance, one of the issues I think we should also be including in this. Unfortunately, as Ian is presenting, there's more things that come to mind, especially the example we're making of a child in the developmental stages. There's a problem with licensing. The issuing of licenses in MR. And because the work is so widespread, and our oversight is normally such a short time span, including the fact that the mines are so many, you get a situation where certain communities get very frustrated, or certain small, especially the small industry, gets very frustrated because they're not getting their licenses. And for some reason or the other, there's a vehicle somewhere. Now, part of the budget improvement in DMR was them acquiring extra money for a system. I think there's a licensing system, FEMREC, that has now been put in place. But I think we need to actually get to understand from where we come from in terms of the manual process and this FEMREC system, where there's a closing gap, and in what ways is this system going to sort of walk or talk for the very small mining industry people who seem to be struggling to begin this. The turnaround time for the issuing of licenses, how is it going to be shortened, basically? How is it going to be quickest that, to ensure that things are... But also, with the very licensing system, the capacity within DMR, how effective is that capacity in the presence of the system to ensure that the license... Because I think one of the areas that we also need to look into in detail.
I'd like to second that, Madam Chair. I think the whole licensing issue could benefit from being looked at.
Yes, Madam Chair. I think there seems to be more than one evaluation requiring. I'm not being facetious. What my comment is just the mining charter was an issue. Let's call it a gentleman agreement between the mining companies and the government. It then became a compulsory document with which comply in terms of the MPRDA, which is the legislation. Now, there are clearly more than one stakeholder involved. It involves, on a quick reading, a MIGDIP, which is an investment kind of cooperating structure, also kind of a gentleman's agreement between labor, industry, department, and then the department itself, then labor within, I suppose, whichever way you phrase it, and then the communities, because honestly, I don't think if you want to do a proper evaluation of the mining charter and its impact, whether it is successful as it is being formulated at the moment, it has to be read with, in addition to the scorecard. Because all these things, so you'll have to engage with the community to find what it is from their side, what is not working, department, labor, MIGDIP. So it's a multifaceted approach. So it's not only the department that comes into play. So it will deviate from your standard operating procedures. Because the mining charter involves the agreement by all those stakeholders in order to determine what it is that we can collectively improve. I would hate to use the word sustainability in the mining industry, because some people say mining in itself is not sustainable, but it's sustainable as the mining as long as it lasts.
It looks like on our side, especially with, at least we've got a researcher in our prison, Martin Nico. It looks like we have to find a way of working together. It doesn't look like a system that's going to work for you on your own, or for you and DMR on your own. We must have a way of connecting, and the probabilities are that the best person for now is Martin. as the researcher from our side to help us get coordinated information. But it does look like Perth, I don't know if I must say when you elicit the whole thing, or somewhere midway between eliciting and or implementing and come to give us the feedback, we'll have to have another meeting so that we understand the approach that you're going to use. But now it does look like it's no longer just mining charter. It's definitely the mining charter, so that the MPRTA itself, and in particular the licensing system. And there's already issues coming up about mine health and safety as well. So I don't know, I'm just trying to work my head around what approach are we going to use. But I think let's take note of those. And I think mine health and safety is one of the key areas to have optimum mind function in the industry. So I don't think I would change that out anyway. Maybe we might have to develop some little plan of action amongst us to ensure that we all involved, to ensure that what is put down is attended to. And I'm worried about that process that it gave us as to the evaluation process. I don't think we'll be able to do it in a couple of years. It looks like something we might have to condition ourselves to our own time frame. Because if you look at the NPRTA census hasn't yet been presented to us. We are aware that cabinet has approved it, but it hasn't come to us. So there has to be a way of working it out such that the coordinated work in terms of the mining charter in particular in the NPRTA. And if we had to mention already, the workshop on the mining charter is going to be in our next committee week. So about 2 days workshop to ensure that we finally put things together for us to can decide as a committee as to what issues do you want to put forth for recommendation. It will obviously lead us into the interview. So I don't know how are we going to work out the time frame. That's bothering me a bit.
Madam Chair, I don't think this is not an event. I think this is a process. And our today meeting is an event to understand the process. and then, you know, you have to feed in from there, hopefully followed by a meeting with the presidential PME, what do you call yourself? Sorry? DPME. And then a further meeting with the DPME following that meeting.
Can you just say about this deadline of the 30th of June? What's the issue around the issue of the 30th of June?
First of all, I think I'll answer your questions later, but I think just seeing this issue that you now have a number of evaluations, I think that's excellent, and I think it just shows once you start going into this way of thinking, you start saying there are actually a lot of things I need to understand better. So you probably won't get all of them through the National Evaluation Plan, but that's not to say you can't request the department to do an evaluation and follow the same system. They can do it themselves, but follow the same system. But the other thing is, remember, you can also say we would like this one in this year, and we'd like another one in the next year, and we'd like another one in the year after. Yeah. So again, I can't guarantee that we select it, but you can at least do that, and then the department can be budgeting for it, and maybe you need to say, look, we now understand this, and on an ongoing basis, we're going to be asking the department to do evaluation, and these are the ones we want for this period. So what I'm hearing from you, not the ones you're talking about, sounds to me like a design evaluation of the MPRDA would be a good thing to do. It might not be so expensive to do, and as I said originally, we weren't thinking the design evaluations would be part of the submissions for the plan because they would be too small. But actually, in discussions with higher education, they're talking about one they'd like to submit, which is again quite similar to yours about looking at some prospective legislation, etc. And I think it could be worth doing it as part of it. It may not be so expensive. It may mean we can do more than the number we had. The second thing is that the licensing one you're talking about sounds to me like an implementation evaluation of the licensing system. That sounds like a worthwhile thing to do as well. And it will look at the way the system's working, all the different actors involved, etc., and how that's working. Mine health and safety could be a separate one. I would try and collapse them all. You need to focus on a particular thing and try and check how it's working. And just remember, too, that in terms of the multifaceted, there's looking at When you, and I just put this up just to show you, this is an extract on the terms of reference from the nutrition evaluation, so you can see that what was the purpose of the evaluation. So in this case, identifying the critical system and implementation issues inhibiting or enabling people access to nutrition intervention. And then there are some specific questions. Now, for those specific questions, you may have to talk to mothers. You may have to talk to clinics. You may have to talk to ECD centers. You may have to talk to the milk powder producers. It depends on the question you're asking. So the key, the issue, there may be a wide range of people that need to be consulted. It depends on the question you ask. And so we put a big focus on trying to be clear what you're trying to find out, because the research methodology you use will depend on the question you're asking. Okay. And so, but similarly, in some of the evaluations, where you need, like you mentioned, AVA, communities, etc., you may say, even on the steering committee for this evaluation, we need... Maybe we can't have NUM and AMCU, but we'll have KASATU for the sake of argument. So we have some labour representation, because they actually have to buy into the findings of this, and it's important that they're part of it. You might even say, you know, we want Royal Papa King to be on this, because as a representation of communities. I mean, there could be different ways you can do it. But if they are very important stakeholders, they have to own the findings. You may want to put them in the steering committee as well. They would also obviously be talked to as part of the process, but that's the second thing. So there's two. I can come back to the other questions when you want me to.
Is there more questions?
You asked a question about the deadline, and I just want to find out.
Oh, the true deadline is.
And secondly to that, where did the notices go? I'm trying to know whether the department has received it, if it was going to the department. Maybe just check us through that process.
It's a new process, isn't it? They're actually listening as of now. But according to DPME, they have their deadline. But Ian, you can explain it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have to keep some reasonable discipline in this, otherwise it becomes completely chaotic. So we have the deadline for next year of 30th of June. We will do the selection on the 18th of July. Look, sometimes some final submissions come in slightly beyond that, but they can't come in two more because we're selecting on the 18th. So if we know the evaluation's in, it just needs DG signature. That DG signature could come maybe after the 30th. We would want to have at least seen the concept note, that we know that this is a substantive concept note. That's because we need, after July, we need to start preparing the plan that will go to cabinet. You know, so there's a limit on the timing of all that to do the job properly. But obviously, as I mentioned, you may want to say, we would like to put one forward for the national evaluation time, but we'd like the department to do another two, you know? And the reason partly for the timing of our cycle is, we need to be in the budget cycle, because it's no good asking the department to do an evaluation, but there's no time for them to budget for it. So that's why these deadlines are also quite important, because departments are still budgeting for 14-15, and so the budget window is not closed yet. But just to say, COVID's not going to give additional money for evaluations, but you need to take the evaluation money out of a program budget. But as I say, because the evaluation should lead to much more effective programs, it's an entirely justifiable thing to do. And in fact, programs should automatically be budgeting for evaluation as part of the planning process.
Madam Chair, on the mining charter itself, I would work from the impact of the mining charter, then the implementation criteria by the department, in other words, what criteria are they using for the implementation of those criteria, and then going back one step further, the goals or the objectives or the criteria to which the mining company must comply. So,
the impact and implementation.
Impact and implementation, and then evaluation of the criteria itself, whether it is overburdening, underburdening, or underreach, whatever you would call it. Therefore, those are the three issues I think in the mining charter.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to find out from Honorable Sengwa, was your question about this call for evaluation, did it go to the Department of Mineral Resources, and did they receive it? Okay.
Yes, clarify. The letter went to all DGs the first week of April. Okay, and we know that, I mean, there's a slide I didn't actually present on some of the challenges. One of the challenges is that letters that go to DGs don't necessarily get to the right person. So we have also sent it to the M&E, the head of M&E in each department. But, you know, we can't chase 50 departments. We depend on them taking the initiative to take it forward.
Thank you.
So we should actually be writing a letter to them to take heed of a letter that they've already received and start acting on it. We must apply pressure. That's what we're good for. We must just do it. Yeah, Andre. So it means there is a letter there already lying somewhere. We don't know if you've discussed it or not. So I'll actually indicate that it's actually a follow-up on, and the committee would like to see something happen. Okay. Anything else?
Other questions?
Yes, we can do so.
The first question, Honourable Khulu, on the evaluation by Moody's. I have to say we have nothing to do with that process. If anything, that's Treasury. And Treasury, in, for example, in their reporting, will constantly be referring to the issues that Moody's would be talking about. But obviously, I think it is important that the issue which Moody's would be saying is what's the sustainability of the South African economy and what's the sustainability of debt levels, etc. So I would guess that certainly Treasury, Economic Development Department, the Treasury Committee, etc., those are issues that they need to look at. And rather than looking at Moody's, they need to be thinking about those core issues. So one of the issues that I don't know yet, for example, which evaluations are going to be submitted by EDD, for example. I think it's a fair question to ask, and as the Chair was saying about the Economic Transformation Cluster, that's the sort of thing that cluster should be asking. Because it's not about one portfolio committee, that's about a broad range of how are we dealing with issues around the South African economy. And do we need to evaluate IFAP? Do we need to evaluate the National Growth Hub? I mean, how are these issues being dealt satisfactorily? In terms of the question about capacity in relation to the plan, in a sense, this plan, what we're actually asking Cabinet to approve in the plan is not the details of the evaluation. It's to say we have 15 topics here, which are government programs or policies. Do you agree we should evaluate these 15 programs or policies? And of course, that they're well equipped to do. When it comes to the actual evaluation report, it's another issue there. And in fact, one of the things we're doing is we're developing training courses for government departments to be able to read evaluation reports effectively and critically. And to be honest, I think that training is something that could be applied widely, for example, to Parliament as well, because it's not skills which people typically have. How would you read it? How would you compare this report and the findings in this report to this report, which may have different findings? Which one is more reliable? How would you know? These sorts of issues, which we could, so I think that's something we could, but we're trying, that's one of the reasons why we're also trying to make sure the messaging coming through is in a way which is easy to understand and is not completely in jargonese that people can't understand. The independence issue, which Honourable Lerma raised. Yeah, this is very important. In some countries like Mexico, they've actually created an independent structure outside government. So DPM, equivalent to DPME, if you like, is not inside government, it's outside government. In South Africa, it's taken the decision to be within government. We've put in place a lot of measures to try and make sure they are independent. And we've had a lot of support from Cabinet in this process. And just if I go back to this slide, it's very interesting when I've actually presented this to the Cabinet Committee, and I was going to present this slide, and I thought our minister would see the first of these as by far the most important. But he didn't. He said, no, all four of them are equally important. And I think that reflects the seriousness with which this is taken. So he saw accountability as just as important as the performance side and the improving decision-making. So I think at the moment, I mean, when uncomfortable evidence comes through, we have to see how that's taken. But at the moment, we're getting very positive messages about systems. So I think the proof is in the pudding. We'll have to see how it goes. But do ask that question in a year's time. And in relation to the uncomfortable findings, whether those uncomfortable findings will be taken forward, and I think that's an important question. We've talked about design evaluation of MRDDA. The safety issue, I think, could be an evaluation, yes. The 2014 deadline for the mining charter would imply to me that it's a very good one to do now. And if we can start that latest January, it maybe can be in time to get results before you the money charter has to be reviewed. The other thing I would say is, the thing that I find exciting about evaluation, why I really enjoy this, is because for me it's about learning. And this, it's time to get a learning culture into government, as opposed to a fear of making mistakes, to say we all make mistakes, but do we learn from our mistakes and do we improve? And that's the chance we've got to do something different. The minute we start asking the department, what's the core question you want to answer, the learning process starts. Because immediately you start to identify where people were a bit confused about why things have happened or et cetera, et cetera. So the process doesn't start when the report's there. By the time the report's there, a lot of the learning may already happen. So we also don't need to say, well, the evaluation will only start in January, we'll only learn next August or September. Actually, as soon as we start asking questions, the learning will happen, so it will happen throughout. In terms of the 1,500 mining operations, if you were going to do an evaluation, let's say, of the mining charter, you would do a sample. So you do a stratified sample of those 1,500. You take a sample of the big ones. You might do a survey to all of them. You might do a sample then of saying, going to go and actually talk to 50, 10 of the biggest, 10 of the smallest, 30 that are in the middle, et cetera, et cetera. You'd have some strategy for doing that. So you get a representative sample of that broader population. You might say, I want to talk to some of them who are exploring and some of those who are already implementing, et cetera. That's the research process that you need to do. So the question's about the provincial evaluation plan and whether it's mandatory. The question you asked, ma'am, about the provincial evaluation plan. So, yes, it's not compulsory. So I think the issue becomes about the accountability process. So if I'm assuming the provinces are going to also take on the improvement plan angle. So once the provincial evaluation is finished, there will then be an improvement plan, and there's then an opportunity for management and potentially provincial legislatures to get reports on what's being implemented or not. So although you can't say you must, you can certainly do some very strong naming and shaming. As to why, this is what you're supposed to do, why you're not doing it. And what you can also ask is for the next plan, the next APP of the department, for example, you can say, we want to see this in the APP. This evaluation is showing this is wrong or this needs changing. This needs to happen in the APP. Therefore, it will happen in the performance agreement of the DG and of staff, etc. around. So there's ways you can do it without making the legal obligation.
It sounds we're going to need to do something similar to Parliament. Just Parliament report.
Say some more.
No, I just mean that being the presidency and up and above the issue of looking at departments, there could actually be a good result coming out of this if it's done to the way Parliament is run. Because I think there's a lot of things that need to happen that shows a shift. I don't want to say a paradigm shift, but a shift from the way we used to operate to the way we are operating now. And in terms of stepping up to the technological improvement and changes that are happening for us to be able to get out our work properly. And the approach to the oversight work that we do could actually be a necessity that some changes be brought in to ensure improved work before we even talk about possibilities of policy changes. The way we do things need to change, type of a thing.
I think the whole DPME role in relation to Parliament is evolving. And I think we're going to pilot it through things like this as we start to explore how that role can best be played out. But I think what we're beginning to see is that a lot of the information products that we're producing are very important for Parliament because it allows you to answer questions you couldn't otherwise answer. So I think we need to explore then how that works for, like we just only heard today about the clusters. I mean, there's all sorts of things that we can explore about how to do, and then how we perhaps start reporting regularly and make sure our products are available to you on a regular basis so you're able to access them and use them. I also think we had our first interaction with the parliamentary researchers 2 weeks ago, And I also want to do the similar presentation to the content advisors. And I think then we need to make that panel on, so that the researchers and content advisors also know and can advise you about the way there's an evaluation coming up, or, you know, when you're in debate, say, is that not a topic that we should be putting forward as an example of an evaluation?
Okay, anything else? I think then we should say thank you, Ian, and your team. This was very informative, and I think it's worth trying. Hopefully, we're going to continue our engagement, and at a certain point, we'll come back to the portfolio committee, and then check, evaluate our own progress on what we're trying to implement, and as we go along, the committee itself could even start realizing that we could work out something in terms of just oversight alone. There's a lot of work that needs to be done there, and there's the reporting systems at times are not effective, so we could grow out of this. Thank you very much for coming. Ronnie, thanks. Good night.
Thank you for the opportunity, and we look forward to working with you in the future.
Can we take a break for tea before we then?
We finish then, okay?
Cool. Don't you have tea first and come back to a meeting? You look like you're all in a hurry, man.
Yeah.
We're going to have a late night tomorrow. We're here in Parliament until 12 midnight. Do you know that? Tomorrow.
Yeah,
12 midnight in Parliament. Tomorrow.
There's another 2 or 3 weeks that's going to come in for. It's 2 weeks that's going to come in for oversight. But what I need honorable members to work on, we because of the upcoming NCAT game, depending on them, we're going to have public hearing. And be ready because those public hearings are going to be in the hotspot of where all the commotion is taking place. You remember we said that earlier on we do want to be a part of the decision making in terms of going to this main. But eventually when we have those public hearings with the NCAT, we're going to have to get around the hotspot. One or two around Marikana, Carltonville, we can look at it, Northern Cape somewhere. We can have a look. But help us think, and let's talk around it, so that whenever there's inputs that you have in relation to where we must go to, just remember that the main reasons are that you must now go to Marikana if we have to run manufacture and hold one there, but you must have a clear agenda, so that you don't go into Africa the further day. Up and beyond the work of the commission, whatever other commission is there, the deputy president leading the whole process, we also need to do our oversight of his MP. So our focus is going to be the MPRCA and the area focus. We will look at if opportunity allows us to get going to oversight. Remember we're visiting provinces, different provinces. I think just about left with the Western Cape. We haven't visited any mine in the Western Cape. We'll compare and look at situations of what the possibilities are then before we close off, that we also go on oversight in the Western Cape. Choose a couple of mines in the Western Cape for oversight. Kululu, I think that's a big one. What I'm not promising on, we will attempt, is the Australian, but it doesn't look like it's going to work. It doesn't look like it's going to work. We'll just see what happens. Because this is an open floor for discussion.
On the issue of where the public hearing should be held, I suppose one in Rustenburg, one in Johannesburg, one in Cape Town would probably be more appropriate, I think. You know, Johannesburg is important because most of the mining houses are there. Rustenburg is close to Marikana, in this area, and Cape Town is normally a...
We look at it. There's a lot of mining in Cape Town. There's a lot, even marine mining, which we had to go to. But anyway, I was just warning you because if there's risks involved, you must just be ready to have your own ammunition up. You must just ammunition with the information. Just to end it in. But I'm just saying that it's going to be quite a, in a way, it's our work, but a risky situation. So our heads must be saying that is what we're going to do there. And we must be coming with empty promises there or expectations for the people there. It's going to compromise us. But that's the direction we need. Now we're going in. So, just I'm yourself. That's all I'm saying. We need to discuss it further, though. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks.